from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Hey, John Boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
Although you look at the Cubs, they've been at or near the bottom of the NL Central for a while, and you consider where they're at the moment, I would mention two names right now, Jameson Taillon and Nico Hoerner.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me, it means the world.
With Parkins and Spiegel.
Sources confirm that's fun.
On 670 The Score.
Tonight, the Cubs begin their road trip in Kansas City against the Royals. Pre-game coverage, 6:35. First pitch, 7:10. On the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Also tonight, Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live, 6 to 6:30. Bears Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Cubs. Grody in 30 minutes, and we have Dave Wannstedt in 90 minutes. We'll have John Morosi in a minute. The Cubs can't run back the same team next year. Their offense isn't good enough. But the problem is, where on the diamond can you inject a better bat? Like, where are you not locked in? Seiya and Happ have no trade clauses. Seiya is one of your better bats. Happ has been one of your better bats, but those are run-producing corner outfield spots. You're pretty committed to PCA. He told us that he's been told anything he gives them offensively is a bonus. And they have Bellinger, who could just opt in, and he's got $50 million plus on his contract the next 2 years. So they'll probably try to trade Bellinger, but who's trading for a guy who may not come back from this injury and produce and may or may not opt in for that deal? Like, if he was healthy and raking, I think you'd be able to get a lot for him. But he's unhealthy and not playing and has been pretty inconsistent this year and not shown a lot of power. I don't think you're going to get much for Bellinger, if anything. So I think your outfield is pretty cemented. Bush at first base, you traded for already. He's young, he's cheap. He's having a great year. Nico and Dansby are under contract. In theory, you could trade Nico's contract pretty easily. But that is going to be complicated in terms of, like, he's everything that you want in a player. Dansby's having a bad year. And then, obviously, catcher's been a disaster. And Morel has been, you know, very hit or miss and bad defensively. But we'll be joined now by John Morosi on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What's up, JP?
Happy trade deadline weekend, Danny. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going well, my friend. Lots to get into here with you. What are you hearing about CAA and Garrett Crochet's demand, request, that if traded, he wants a contract extension or else he will refuse to pitch in October, and how that is impacting the likelihood that he, in fact, gets dealt at all?
Yeah, Danny, it's a really important question. It's certainly been one of the big topics in the industry the last 24 hours. Credit to John Heyman for his report. I spoke with somebody last night who was familiar with Crochet's plans and basically affirmed what John had reported, that that's what Crochet's plan is. I understand this from the player's perspective that, first of all, he's doing something at the major league level in terms of the number of innings and the starts because of the time he missed and the pandemic season. It was a very unique time to enter pro ball, that basically he is comfortable with the workload that he's been given to this point. He doesn't want to go to the bullpen because he's comfortable in this role of being a starter every fifth day. He likes this, but he doesn't want to go beyond where that number is if he feels like he's going to potentially jeopardize his long-term health / earnings potential. So that is his thought process, according to what I've been told. We can agree, disagree with that line of thinking. I think he's obviously entitled to manage his own career as he sees fit. And I will say this, it's better that this is put out there now as opposed to he gets traded to someone and then the Orioles say, hey, great, you're going to pitch game two after Burns. And he says, oh, funny thing about that, I'm actually not. And so that's...
Well, so do you think he gets traded? Do you think he gets traded?
No, I don't. Okay. I think all along it was going to be a little challenging, perhaps, for him to get moved just because of how much time is left on his service with the White Sox before free agency. And this looming notion of the shutdown or a curtailment of his workload, it's been out there even before John's report, which was an important report, but it's been whispered about for a long time. People were saying, well, do I really want to trade for him if I feel like he's not going to be fully available to me to pitch the biggest games of the season? And so I think right now the chances of a Crochet deal have diminished and the chances of a Skubal deal have gone up, because if the other big lefty arm out there is now less likely to be moved, and if Baltimore says, wow, I really want to have a big time lefty arm for the playoffs, and now Crochet is not an option, you might be more inclined to pay whatever exorbitant price the Tigers are going to demand for Tarek Skubal.
So is the biggest name then dealt by the White Sox Eric Fetty or Luis Robert?
I think Fetty has a better chance to be moved than Robert because he has the reliability and consistency that I think a lot of teams want right now, whether it's the Dodgers or I would think, again, Baltimore probably wants more of the swing and miss Skubal type for their rotation, whereas a team like the Dodgers, they need reliability. They've got enough variability with guys like Glasnow at all that they need more, I think, more of the reliable type that Fetty, I think, would bring. And Fetty's been really good. I mean, I think he's been fantastic for the White Sox this season. Robert has value, without a doubt. I just wonder if teams look at the big picture, and probably Seattle was looking at, okay, Arozarena, I know what his playoff performance is. I know what he's done over the last month. He's been playing in pretty meaningful games. He's been very productive. Whereas I just think Robert's track record is a little variable, up and down. And I think the teams going into the playoffs, there certainly are ball clubs that would want Robert. But in the last 24 hours, Danny, the Phillies got their guy in Austin Hayes, and the Mariners got their guy in Arozarena. And neither of them were Luis Robert. So I think that Robert's been part of those conversations, but we saw two potential suitors for him go off the board and find their needs elsewhere, to the point that I think that Robert's chance of a deal have certainly diminished.
John Morosi, MLB Network, is our guest. Most likely Cub to be traded is who?
Mike Tauchman. I mean, he's the most likely. I'm not sure that he'll be the highest value.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
value or the greatest value in the marketplace, but he's had a really good year as someone that I think can play for you in multiple spots defensively. Solid lefty bat. I think a team like the Yankees, I mentioned before this week that both Tauchman and Horner can address what the Yankees have as a real issue. I think that Tauchman would help Seattle as well. I mean, they're not done yet looking for bats. So I think that Tauchman, of all the possibilities, I know he's got the connection to Chicago, but I think there's going to be enough interest in him that the Cubs will feel compelled to move him. Horner's performance has picked up a little bit. I know it's, again, been a topsy-turvy season for him. I heard you what you were saying about Morel coming in. I think that's a big piece for the Cubs. Do they make enough moves that potentially Morel has a clearer spot to playing a position that's not third base and being an everyday player? I think that's a big question for the Cubs. It's a team. I know this is not news to Cubs fans. They've been one of the most disappointing teams in baseball this year. They were supposed to be so much better than they have been. And I for one, am looking at this roster saying, I'm not sure how clearly their path is to being better than even the Pirates in 2025.
All right, well, yeah, because that's the issue, right? If assuming they're locked in at shortstop because they can't move Dansby, they're locked in at first because they don't want to move Bush. Saya and Happ have no trade clauses, even though John Heyman said there is some talks about Saya. Feels like they're committed to PCA. I would imagine you can't trade Bellinger when he's hurt and he's got player options. Second base, I don't want him to trade Nico, and that's not a position that's easily upgradable on offense. Then catcher's been a disaster. Morel's been what he's been. Soto, by giving him $300 million, like, how does this team inject offense this offseason? Where do they inject it?
It would have to be really expensive, to your point. They would have to either, and one of two ways, either you invest a ton of money in Juan Soto, and by the way, I think that number, I think it's going to be closer to $400 million.
Okay.
If I just had to, July 26th, what is your guess as to what it's going to cost? I think that number is closer to four than it is to three. And I realize it's going to be unique for the Yankees to balance what they're already paying Judge and Cole to an extent with what they're going to be paying Soto if they bring him back. But that's the cost to do business right now, especially in a world in which for 1 year at least, a DH only in Ohtani gets $700 million. Now, I realize there are other reasons why he got $700 million, but that's where he's at right now. I think that the other piece is, do you use some of your prospect capital to then trade for a younger catcher? One name to look at is Marchand, who is with the Phillies, who isn't really playing in the long term because they've got Realmuto. He's a guy that I think could potentially be a fit for the Cubs. Other teams that have a catching surplus. Again, the Orioles are one. Samuel Basayo, let's see if he's still an Oriole by 6 p.m. on Tuesday. But if he's still an Oriole by that time, he's someone that they believe can catch. And they got a guy by the name of Rutschman who's going to be their guy forever behind the plate. So I think that's a natural potential trade fit. But I think that their internal guys, the ones that they are trusting in a big way. And look, Swanson's not going to be this bad back-to-back years. He's had a bad year. He's had a bad year. He's not a bad player. And that's what I feel about Dansby. I think he still has some really good baseball left in him. And it just hasn't been in 2024. The pitching, I think, has been okay at times. But they probably need to reinforce that, especially if they end up moving Tyone, depending on what the market reveals. I think it's, to me, Danny, it's a fascinating market because there are these teams, like the proud teams that have not wanted to acknowledge that they're going to be sellers until like the last possible minute. I would say the Cubs are part of that. The Giants are part of that. The Jays have realized who they are, I think, already. But now it's time for these teams to put their guys out there and see if they can at least do the express rebuild. And by that, I mean trade your tie-ons, trade Tauchman, for example, other guys that are coming towards the end of their time, and then bring back the younger players who are basically major league ready but are blocked or are not necessarily going to start and make key contributions for playoff teams right now. That's what you've got to do if you're the Cubs or the Giants, and let's see if Jed Hoyer and his group can get that done.
Have you heard anything about Saya and waiving his no-trade clause?
I have not. Not at this moment in time. I do think, again, Seattle could be an interesting fit. where maybe that's a spot. I still think they need way more offense than just Randy or Rosarena. So I would keep that possibility open. But I have not heard a team imminently acquiring him where he would want to waive his no trade. And again, you would think that it'd have to be a larger market team. Maybe the Yankees. That's worth thinking about. But again, I think if the Yankees and Cubs get together on a deal, it's more likely to include Talkman or Horner than it would to include a Happ or a Suzuki.
Are you expecting an active deadline or a boring deadline?
Active, for sure. And I think, you know, there's different ways to describe what active means. I think that today, seeing already some significant bats move, like Rosarena is a dude. And I know he hasn't had a great season, but he's one of the most electrifying big moment performers that we've seen in the game in the last 5 years. And so that was very meaningful to me. It was a fascinating winner for winner trade between the Phillies and the Orioles. I mean, they might match up in the World Series, and they're flipping that trade Hayes for Sir Anthony and Pache. So that's a very interesting trade, I thought. And I still think, you know, the Tigers are a team to watch. I mean, Flaherty has had a sub-3 ERA, and he's a free agent. When the season is over, he's probably going to get traded, I would say, like with 90% confidence. And then the Scooble deal is fascinating. Either it's going to happen with Baltimore or someone else gets desperate and gives them a crazy offer. But I think that's really a staring contest now between the Orioles and the Tigers. I still think it's 60-40 he stays in Detroit, but it's a non-zero chance that we've got a blockbuster trade coming up in the next several days.
John Morosi, MLB Network, always kind enough to join us during the busiest time of the baseball season. Thank you, sir.
Danny, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for everything.
All right, you too. I'll talk to you soon. That is John Morosi. We've got Mark Grody from the first padded practice at Halas Hall in 15 minutes. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.